Hoopball Podcast listeners, are you a fantasy expert and want to write or podcast for Hoopball? Do you have aspirations of covering a team? Are you a master of sales and want to earn some cash on the phones? Well, we've got good news. Hoopball's recruiting. If you think you have what it takes, hit us up at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or by emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com. Again, that's at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com.
Hey, Jill, guess what? Sports are back.
Yeah. And
with sports back, so is my bookie. My bookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, assuming, of course, your favorite teams are actually still playing. With the NBA playoffs going on right now, they have up-to-the-minute odds. And with my bookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. It's that simple. And if you join today, my bookie will match your deposit 100%. Jill, 100%. Plus, they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter the promo code HOOPBALL when signing up. Again, enter the promo code HOOPBALL and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. And it's time to get underway here with the latest edition of the Sacramento Kings podcast brought to you by HoopBall and the HoopBall Podcast Network. I'm Damian Barling along with Joe Edge. I still don't think people realize, like, you're a co-host of this show. You're not a guest on this show. You weren't like a guest analyst, a guest speaker. You weren't someone just, you know, to keep me entertained. Like, this is your show here. I'm just here to tee up your pitches for you. That's it.
I saw that. Thank you. I think my dad even said something.
Your dad did. He was like, hey, that was a great guest. I was like, no, Mr. Edge, no, I don't think you understand what's happening here. Jill is not a guest. Like, this is her podcast. I'm just here for fun. And we appreciate everybody who downloaded our first episode together. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. There's obviously, as there always seems to be, there's always a lot going on in the world of the Sacramento Kings, and rarely is it ever good. Let's start with this. We were having some, you know, conversations, and one thing I'm really big on, and I do this with Kenny on D'Lo and Casey as well on ESPN 1320, which is on from 12 to 2, and you can download the radio.com app if you want to listen. Not that I'm giving a plug for the radio show or anything, but I am. I often say, hey, hold on, let's wait to talk about this while we're recording. One thing I did you see the TNT clip last night when the TNT crew sent the Sacramento Kings fishing? They did the gone fishing gimmick, and it showed Vlade in the rowboat, which was funny, but then Shaq throws in a you're welcome as it pertains to Joe Dumars, and I thought, oh no, you've got to be kidding me. That's Shaq the entertainer. There can't be any realness to that, that Shaq had any influence on Vlade being out.
I mean, one would think, but then again, with this team, you really do never know.
It's a truce. Okay. Fair enough. In most cases, you'll look at it and go, oh, that's Shaq being Shaq. But it's the Kings, so you're like, oh.
Could have been a Kings move.
I can imagine, hey, Vivek, it's Shaq. Hey, Shaq. Hey, you got to let Vlade go. Okay. Or, hey, you got to put Joe Dumars in charge. Great idea, big fella. See you later.
Yeah, I think it was John that actually had a good one where he was like, oh, he keeps sending him home in the summer or something like that.
Oh, and
it was
yeah.
just like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Painfully.
There were so many.
painfully true. I maintain that. I mean, some people will say till the day they die that Vlade made the right play on that particular play that we all know of. We just don't speak of. You know, this is like the second time this has happened. 2 weeks ago, it wasn't even 2 weeks ago. It might have been a week ago. If you stuck around on NBA TNT long enough, they showed that clip. I can't remember why. It was probably in relation to Dame Lillard being clutch. And they showed that particular clip that we no longer speak of. And Shaq goes, yeah, Vlade soft ass should have just grabbed the ball, but he batted it back right to you know who and you know what happened. And
brutal.
We all moved along.
Yeah. But and the Funny thing there, though, is people around here would be like, oh, probably not, but wouldn't be surprised. But I don't doubt that other people watching out there are like, yeah, that's something that would happen with the Kings. Oh, like,
for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I asked you this before the show, but I didn't get your – are you drinking wine?
No.
Oh, okay. I just thought, like, that's your thing, like hoops and wine. Like, I thought no. That was –
well, once – yeah, later in the day I will be.
Oh man, but, it's late enough.
This is my like flavored water that I have while I'm working. So.
Oh, nice.
But it's in the Yeti cup, keeping it cold. So.
Is that a personalized Yeti cup? See, I got a. I don't know if you can see mine. We're acting like we can see each other. You can't see us.
It's a nice, pretty teal with palm trees, and I had it in a hammock. I had it personalized.
It's very nice. It's very nice.
Thank you.
So which portion of the bad news do you want to get to first? Because a lot has been written since the last time we talked about the current general manager position, and it is hitting us from everywhere. Sam has written about it. Shams has written about it. Sam and Shams has written about it. Jason Anderson's been writing about it. Jason Jones is writing about it. It's pretty much hitting us from everywhere, and I think the one thing that we can all agree on is there's absolutely no clarity about what direction the Sacramento Kings are going in other than they've hired a search firm. So, yay.
100%. And as we have seen and heard before, that they have used this firm before and not always followed the guidance of the firm, which led to some of the training staff issues. But let's hope that they learn their lesson. And I think it was in Jason's article in the B that mentioned just last year, the Pelicans used it and they came out with Langdon, great hire. So, 49ers did it in 2017 and look where they are now. So it looks like if people follow, you know, the recommendations that they come back with, that we have seen success. So I would only hope, that they follow that route. But there is some bad news, but I'm in my optimism, I'm hoping that it's maybe opened the door for some good news, that some of the big names that I had talked about that I didn't think they maybe didn't have a shot at, but now I'm a little bit more hopeful that there is possibly opportunity there. If Dumars really is not the guy in staying, because I think with those big names that we talked about in like Adam Simon, Bobby Webster,
Mike Zarian.
Yes. That I don't think you would get those kind of guys if you had someone there telling them what to do. That's what they're dealing with now. And if they're coming to a new team and leaving a stable organization, they're going to want the final say and run it their way.
So that's the part that I'm having the most difficulty with. I can't figure out where Joe Dumars fits in all of this, because if you come out and you say Joe Dumars is the president or vice president of basketball operations, he's in charge of basketball operations. It's like, all right, cool. Got it. But he's the interim vice president of basketball operations. And by most of what we're hearing, Joe Dumars wants to be the general manager. So the part where I am left terribly, terribly confused is, how do you hire a person for a job that you want? How do you like manage that position with integrity? Because if Joe Dumars does remain on the staff, and people have used the term the Jerry West role, if he, you know, maintains that title as the permanent vice president of basketball operations, do you go the Jerry Jones route where you're hiring, like you're going to hire the general manager and you're going to give a recommendation, but you're going to give it to someone who you can manipulate? You want to be a part of the process. Like that's most people believe that that's why Jerry Jones kept Jason Garrett in charge for so long, because he knew he could manipulate Jason Garrett to do what he wanted to do. If Joe Dumars wants the general manager position, how if you're Vivek Rondadeva, how if you're a business owner, do you put someone in charge of a hire for a position that someone in charge actually wants? I can't, even saying it is confusing. I can't wrap my brain around it.
Yeah. And why I never believe, if that was the case, why I never believed that you would have anybody else come aboard, that it would just be, oh, hey, guess what? I did it. And I think I'm the best fit for it. So, you know, let's circle back around and see what happens. I felt that was kind of more of a smokescreen than anything if they went that route. And my only hope is if he might have maybe spoke too soon in some of these things, where we saw Mark Spears come out pretty quick right when this all happened. Amick and Shams had, you know, a couple articles, and I'm wondering if, I don't know, I don't want to say painted him in a bad light, but maybe he got too far ahead of himself. But I also don't blame him based on how the firing or letting go of Lottie went, where what else is he supposed to think? If you're saying you're going to give me control and he's running it, why wouldn't it be the same, you know, with, if I brought in a Scott Perry or somebody else that, you know, I have a relationship with and can manipulate how I see fit. So the only thing I'm hoping is that interested parties contacted them and flat out said, I'm interested, but I will not be interested if this is the structure of how it's going to go.
And so
I don't understand how you could have that quick of a turn if something like that didn't happen.
And I think it was Sammy and Shams. And again, so much stuff has come out in, I mean, really there were multiple articles released today. You know, you kind of factor that in with yesterday, the one that Sam and Shams had today. I think that was the one where they said that the new general manager was going to report directly to Vivek Ranadive. And it's like, okay. So you've got a general manager in charge of the roster. Solid. Got a general manager in charge of, you know, your basketball ops, so to speak. And then you've got an owner in charge of the general manager. Cool. What exactly is Joe Dumars' position in all of this?
Right.
Like, what exactly are you? Because if the GM reports to Vivek, you don't need a president of basketball ops, or I keep saying that. You don't need a vice president of basketball operations. You don't need any of that. You just need your owner and your general manager, and you go from there.
Right. Right. The only way it would just be the cycle of what happened with Vladi is, and if he stayed in that advisor role and 3 years down the road, he didn't, you know, Vivek didn't like the moves being made by this general manager, then it would be the cycle continuing of, you know, Joe moving in. Like, I just don't, yes, it doesn't make sense of what exactly they're trying to do. And that's part of the issue right now too, is the messaging. Like, it's, and it sounds like almost internally, we're hearing different pieces that they don't even know what their messaging is.
So,
because it's changing from day to day.
You want to flash back to the good old days of the regular season, pre-pandemic portion of the season. The Kings dealt with, and you mentioned this earlier when you were talking about the search firm and the training staff. I've never seen a fan base come to the defense of a training staff just as vehemently as the Sacramento Kings fan base did.
Because there was one... How should I say it? There was always one solid about mm-hmm. that place mm-hmm. and one continuing piece of that place. And that was always respected, getting invited to All-Star games, that was just revered. And that was our training staff.
Yeah.
Like that was in the, you know, the 25 years plus that they were there, or that Pete at least was the head of it. Like, they were solid. There was never any question.
But you used the term messaging a minute ago or a second ago. And I think back to, and I could be wrong. We mentioned Pete Youngman. Pete Youngman is just a glorious follow on social media. He's so honest about, you know, his perspective on things, and not honest, like he's not mean to anybody. Like he's just the best guy to interact with. And I feel like it was him. So if I'm wrong on this, Pete, please forgive me. And if anyone will know, you will know. But he was talking about how sometimes the messaging to the media is done to protect players. And sometimes when you come out and you talk about, hey, you know, Rashawn Holmes has a torn labrum, or hey, was it a Bagley? I'm trying to keep track of Bagley's injuries this year. Was this year the foot? He had a hand and a foot. Like, okay, there's a problem with, you know, Marvin Bagley's foot. Like, we're not sure if it's broken. We're monitoring it, but there's, you know, he could be out a while.
It was like day to day, and it wasn't that right. Serious. And all of a sudden, we saw him in a boot, and it was like, well, boot seems kind of serious. Like,
And so the messaging wasn't there, and that started to create the narrative that, well, there's nothing wrong with Marvin Bagley. Why isn't he playing? Oh, it's a sprain. Oh, it's a this or it's a that. We had never gotten the proper message. We didn't know Rashawn Holmes get hurt, come back.
His shoulder.
And then all of a sudden it's like Rashawn Holmes has a torn labrum. And it was like, wait a minute. Did he tear it the first time or did he hurt it in practice? Like, we don't know. And so we're left to kind of piece this together. And you could argue, well, it's none of our business or we don't need to know. But as media and as fans, when we cover this, like, that's how narratives get placed that, well, Bagley soft. Or in Rashawn Holmes' case, it's, well, what the hell is wrong with the training staff? Like, if he has a torn labrum, why was he out there? And if his shoulder was so fragile that he was in danger of tearing it during a practice, how did y'all let him back out there? And so it's, you know, I say all of that. That is a very long-winded way to say messaging with this unit has not been strong over the last couple of years. And they're not doing any better now with the general manager search.
Yes. And yeah, well, and we've seen it so many different times where, I mean, this is pretty normal too when we're getting messaging from media and other places where, especially here, everything you're reading truth to it, but you're also trying to find grain of salt of who would put this out or who would feed this information, who's this going to help? Who's feeding this info to try and gain something on their end? Like, we've never had pure, in the last so many years, it's really hard to find like pure intentions when you're getting stuff. And so you're always left like spinning yourself in a circle trying to make heads of tails. And it's extremely, extremely hard. And especially for such a small market, you know what I mean? Like for a small marketplace, like, can you imagine if we were in a Boston or New York or like, I mean, I don't even know what.
And it's, you know, the funny thing about that is I did an episode of Be Conscious over the weekend, which is a politically based podcast I do on Patreon. And I was talking to my friend Kamara, who's really, he's heavy into politics, particularly in the East Coast. And we were talking about Donald Trump. We were talking about the upcoming election, and he used the term like the world is, you know, what Donald does isn't really a big deal anymore because we have like scandal fatigue, like controversy fatigue. Like we're so used to some scandal being embroidered in Donald Trump that it's like, scandals that would take down presidents of the past.
Just another Thursday.
They just roll it. He's Teflon. Like, it's just like, yeah, you know, whatever. Whether it's removing mailboxes, whether it's moving sorting machines at post offices, whether it's voter suppression, whether it's, you know, racially insensitive remarks, whether it's sexually suggestive remarks. What, everyone just kind of is like, I don't have any. Dude has been impeached and he's on his way to being reelected. Like, I'm fatigued by it. I can use that same conversation with the Sacramento Kings. It's like, yeah. Dysfunction around the general manager position. It's like, I'm too tired to be angry about it. Like, I'm fatigued by the whole process. Yeah. Like, we're still dealing with Luka. You know what I mean? We're dealing with another injury to Marvin Bagley. We've got De'Aaron Fox's contract coming up. We don't know how that's going to work. We all know Luke Walton is gone. It's just a matter of when. Luke Walton will not be the Sacramento Kings head coach in the 2021-22 season. He won't be. It's just, will he be it in the 2021 season?
Right.
So it's like, it's just being a Kings fan is legitimately exhausting.
It is. And I just say it like as the Kings turn, like it's a soap opera. I mean, it's another day, another crazy episode. Let's see what happens tomorrow. another day, another crazy episode. Let's see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. I use the what's happening theme anytime I think there's like clownish behavior. I don't know why what's happening always reminded me. I don't know why. It always sounded just so clowny to me. So every time someone said something stupid on the podcast, I'd boom, fire the what's happening thing. I don't know why that was, but it's something.
Yeah. And so, yeah, to go back to how we were saying that it's just dysfunctional stuff, which to me, in like you guys were talking about on the radio show today.
The D'Lo and Casey radio show on ESPN 1320 on the radio.com app, that one.
Kenny had mentioned that he was thinking that Scott Perry essentially was the safe choice. And I agree with that to an extent, even though when I said that, I had a bunch of replies of, look what he's done, you know, all the last year. But when I say he's the safe choice in the sense that he has the relationships which the Kings love to have with people they bring in. And yes, he brings that respectability factor that we don't have, but I'm also sick of being stuck with the safe choice and not necessarily the best choice because we have made so many mistakes in the past. And you have the issues between the minority owners and Vivek that you can see kind of sprinkled through Sam's article, if you look close enough.
Yeah.
And maybe that's who's pushing Perry because he brought some respectability factor. But at one point too, are you just circling the treads? Like if you get a fresh new face in here that has not had any association with any of the issues that have been going on, I don't know how that would be any less of a necessarily safe or respectable route if they are already revered, you know, individuals in the positions they have now and around the league. I don't see how that would necessarily change because to me, any of the names that we've seen floated around, they're respected by agents, players, front offices. Like, you're not losing anything in that aspect if you go with them over Perry. To me, it's a relationship, and they credit him for the Fox, you know, the Fox pick, which Fox was, I don't know how you wouldn't have chosen Fox.
But
people say the same thing about Luca. So, I mean, it's a whole...
So the line in The Athletic, which is well worth the subscription, I think even during certain times you can get it for, you know, a couple cents a month.
Yes.
The line from Sam Amick here as pertains to Scott Perry, sources say there has been a swell of support both internally among some of the team's minority owners and externally for former Kings Vice President of Basketball Operations and current New York Knicks General Manager Scott Perry. So... And then they go on to list what Scott Perry was able to do while he was here, including securing the workout of De'Aaron Fox, which, you know, I don't know how much that led to him being drafted or not. My argument, because I argued today on the radio, ESPN 1320, 12 to D'Lo and Casey, I argued that what else were you going to do?
Although when Vlade first came in, there was some weird comment about he doesn't like drafting people that he hasn't seen.
Right.
And so I guess maybe that would be the only fear. But, I mean, we would have had a whole nother set of issues if he had not have taken Fox for that.
I know you said that you think Scott Perry is the safe pick in terms of all of them, or maybe a better way of phrasing it is the safest pick.
If you're going for current relationships, I guess, but I.
What don't you like? Let's start there. What don't you like about
an issue with him? It's just to me, what has he proven over the other names in the last couple of years that make you think he would turn around a team that's at the bottom. To me, he's made a lot of the same issues Vladdy has made the last couple years when he was in New York. When New York was at the bottom and he tried to sign these names, which I get, you're in New York and you try and sign the Durants and stuff. But when that didn't happen, he threw like $103 million at a bunch of power forwards. It didn't make sense. And to me, Vladdy had the same issue as you're spending all your cap money, but then you lose any kind of possible, as a team at the bottom, where to me, you leave some cap space open. It leaves you to be able to take some bad contracts with draft picks, things like that, where you can maybe work something. But I don't know if that was necessarily Scott or if it was above him, because you have Dolan there and issues and, you know, so.
But that's worth
either.
That's worth knowing, because I'd argue there's one organization in the NBA worse than the Sacramento Kings, and it's the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
And in my estimation, it's cool that Leon Rose is there. Leon Rose is very respected. It's cool that World Wide West is there. He's got his, you know, he certainly has his relationships in the league. I argue though, and I'll maintain this until I'm proven wrong, no matter who the general manager is, you are not going to be able to get a quality free agent to sign there. Meaning, you mentioned the KDs, you mentioned the Kyrie Irvings, whether it's ever LeBron James, whether it's Anthony Davis, whether it's Zion Williamson, whoever is next on this list, it's De'Aaron Fox. As long as James Dolan is the owner, it ain't happening. And
yeah,
That's not Scott's fault.
Right.
Yeah. However, with all of that said, I still like the idea. I'd still would rather go with an assistant general manager who is on a well-run team, who could come in here and not only, because we're looking at it from, well, we want the best players. We want a general manager who has relationships with agents, and we want to be able to get guys in here for workouts, and we want to be able to turn around this perception of what the Sacramento Kings have been looked at in the league. And I'd say, well, that has to start like inside. And I think you need an individual to come in, whether they're coming, I mean, it would be awesome if it was from the Toronto Raptors, or they're coming from Dallas, or they're coming from the Los Angeles Clippers, or they're coming from the Dallas Mavericks, the Miami Heat, a well-run organization. There is no question who the coach is in Dallas. There is no question who the owner is. There is no question who makes the decisions in Dallas. There is no questions who makes the decision in Miami or in Toronto or in San Antonio or in any other of these well-run organizations. We need an individual to come in. Because we're on the team.
Right.
I would like an individual to come in as part of the Sacramento Kings organization and bring that with him. I think all the other stuff will follow, because these guys, most, you know, if you're working in a front office, you know, to varying degrees, I believe you can evaluate talent, and you're going to have people help you evaluate talent. And I think that's the other thing that wind up beating Vlade in the ass is that, and understandably so, given the way his tenure started and given the way that it ended, he just put a bunch of people around him he could trust. And it's, correct, it's hard to not understand that, again, given how it started and given how it ended, but he needs people there who are great at that. Ken Cantinella, perfect example. Ken Cantinella is great at something. I don't want Ken Cantinella to be the general manager, but he's great at something. You need someone who is great at scouting. You need someone who is great at evaluating. You need those type of pieces around you. And then ultimately you've got the guy, you know, above all else, to make the difficult decisions.
So the other one I was going to, that I forgot to mention earlier, that went through that consulting, that group, was the, after Ballmer took over the Clippers, they grabbed Lawrence Frank, and he had said point blank, like, I need a blank check. You got to give me the blank check and let me do what I need to do. But he worked with that firm, and that's exactly what they did, where people say, oh my gosh, they've spent so much money, they're staffed. But all of their assistants and their general manager, like you said, it's a piece to a puzzle that makes up, you know, every piece fills that puzzle. You have your cap guy, you have your analytical guy, you have the scouting piece, the player development, and it has to all mesh to make that. There's not one guy that will necessarily check off any box. That's just unrealistic. And like I've kind of said this before, I think a lot of GMs are only as good as their assistants. I mean, if you don't have that underneath you, I don't think one person's, you know, no matter your name, you're not going to be able to do it all. And like all those places you mentioned, they all have that. They have that complete building block unit of a free office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the front office is just, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so, and there's so much for the person who ultimately gets the job to come in and clean up. Because again, it's not just the roster. It's like the entire organization, which brings another question. You know, how much of, you know, I don't want to throw the word dysfunction around too much, but how much can the different changeover and you know, whether it's Pete D'Alessandro or Chris Malone or Mike Malone or George Karl or person A, B, C, D, E, F, G, how much of like all of this can fall onto the owner? Like how much of this falls onto Vivek Rondive's shoulders? Because in a business setting, you start at the top. And if there are issues within your organization, you've got to start. And if there are massive issues within your organization, you've got to start at the top. And the blame always has to fall on, it always has to fall on the owners.
Right. And as we have seen in previous articles, even what was it last year that it came out that Vlade had to have a phone call with the ownership group to leave him alone and let him do his stuff. But we have seen where, you know, not even there, everyone has completely been on the same page. And that doesn't make for a great working environment either. And you have to wonder through all of this that, you know, if a vet chooses somebody else or the consulting group chooses someone else, will the minority owners accept that? Because as you've seen, they're already kind of floating that Perry name, or is it, you know, a blame game? You know what?
And that was another weird line in the Athletic article. Sam said it could be, or Sam and Shams together said, it could be a rare chance to unify Rondive with the minority ownership group that has been critical of his leadership for so many years now.
And as a fan, to me, I don't really care. I just want a successful winning basketball team. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like this is as a fan, mm-hmm. this is where, oh, okay, we'll make this higher so you can have kumbaya moment. Like, right. I mean, I get it because you do want cohesion up there, but it's frustrating again as a fan having to keep hearing this same thing over and over. Well, let's make a pick or, you know, hire this person to try and kumbaya everybody. Like it's never about the best person. Like you said before, it's exhausting.
It's exhausting. Yeah. Are there any new names over the course of the last few days that you've thought about, that you've researched, or that you've read in these various articles that have you excited?
One I did think was interesting that Sam Amick put a couple in here. And I thought it was interesting he put Langdon's name in there because, I mean, fans had been talking about that, but I didn't see if he would necessarily ever leave New Orleans. But to me, it would make sense to only leave if he was coming for a VP position, like if he was getting a promotion.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily why else. But he also mentioned Sachin Gupta in there, which is interesting because that's the first time we had heard his name, and he actually has a VP position. Minnesota, and it was his first year last year. But in my other podcast that I was already doing, the Hoops and Wine one, I had actually just done a piece on him, and he's a MIT total grad, analytical guy, has went and he's been under Maury, he's been under Hinkie. He was actually one of the pieces of that infamous Vlade Sixers trade. And that was a real doozy finding out that he was on the other side of that one and that he should get a lot more credit than what's been made public. But he actually created the ESPN trade machine, which to me is crazy. That's what I was like, Vlade did not stand a chance against this guy. Like,
He deserves a one-way private jet ticket to hell, because that trade machine has made everybody think that they have got this front office gig figured the F out.
And he has gone on, he has said that he had no idea that it was going to be like that. And mm-hmm. he's since apologized. But underneath those two guys, that just showed that he had that similar situation. Like when I mentioned Dan Tolsman, how he just emailed Masai and was like, hey, here's in media relations, here's some, you know, interesting players and trade ideas mm-hmm. that I'm just going to keep sending you, whether you think I'm qualified or not, you know, some random media relations guy sending me player ideas.
Yeah.
But he was that same kind of piece under Maury, where he would just walk up to them and say, hey, I think you should do this, or you might want to look at this number or this here. And they were like, wait a second. Like, we might have something here. But he's just another young guy that I thought was interesting that was mentioned. But he's been around in the league, where that name had not been thrown out before. So that kind of raised some suspicions, like maybe where did that come from?
Sure.
Or, and especially because he does hold that VP title, that would that be something coming? Because I don't necessarily think, that, like we talked about before, he's that analytical numbers guy, but I don't think there's any kind of scouting or player development piece with him where you would need that help elsewhere. I'm trying to think if there was any other new names. Matt Boyd's name came out from the Magic. That's another one. James Hamm mentioned. He's been around the league between Chicago and Orlando since he was hired in like 94, and he's still pretty young. So he's kind of like another Adam Simon, where he started really young after college and has just been able to stay in the league for, you know, 20 something odd years and adapt. And his background is scouting. So that's another, and I do think that's what we're missing here, is because, like I've said before, I think our only way of kind of getting ourselves out of this hole, if we stick with the roster we're at now, because we don't have cap space, is, as a small market, you need to hit in the draft. And I think we're severely understaffed in that option.
Yeah.
So
I want to tell you who I have some thoughts on one of the names. He's not a new name. He's been floated out there a lot. And then I want to tell you who my favorite is. But first, Jill, this is the moment where I've got to tell you about Manscaped. You can go to manscaped.com and use the promo code HOOPBALL20 to get 20% off your order, plus free shipping. You can grab the new Lawnmower 3.0. That is the name of the device. It is a Lawnmower 3.0. They have Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. So that means no more accidents. And, you know, you can do manscaping in the shower here with this too, because it's water-resistant. And it's got a LED light to, well, guide the process, if you will. Battery lasts 90 minutes. It's a great little device, and why pay full price for it when you get 20% off of your order plus free shipping? All you got to do, go to manscaped.com and use the promo code HOOPBALL20. Manscaped.com, use the promo code HOOPBALL20. That's the beauty of being on this podcast together, is we get to do Manscaped reads. That's good stuff. Trajan Langdon. That's the name I really, really like. And part of the reason I really like Trajan Langdon's name is because I really like David Griffin. I'm a huge believer in what Griff has done. I'm a huge believer in what Griff is about to do. I'm very, very anxious to see who they hire for that head coaching position, because whatever he does, whether Trajan Langdon continues to be his assistant or whatever his official title is, he the general manager and David Griffin is the basketball ops. Okay. Yes. So yeah, he ain't gonna leave that job.
So, but you know what, but it makes me respect Trent Redden's name even more, is because that was who Griffin tried to bring over first before. And he turned it down, 'cause he said he had unfinished business in LA. But the fact that Griffin went after him first says a lot.
Sure.
He's a Sacramento native. I mean, what a narrative, right? You hire a guy from, I believe it was Sheldon High School, Sacramento native, to turn this thing around.
I'm with it. I'm all for it.
His background is in player development and scouting. So, I mean, it would be a flashy headline. I will say that.
It would be good. It's a good story. I don't know if it's a flashy headline. I don't know if any of these names are particularly flashy. The story is good.
There you go.
I don't know that these
in
names.
In Sacramento, it would be.
Yeah. I don't know how flashy. Like, we're talking about a general manager. Unless you're hiring a former player, or unless you're hiring a general manager with a championship pedigree, like Dave Griffin had. He has a championship pedigree. He was the general manager for LeBron James led team. LeBron James actually liked him, and he was let go under kind of dubious circumstances from his previous general manager. So, like, he's a name that's garnered a lot of respect, and he waited. Like, he waited for the right job. The Pelicans turned out to be the right job. He brought in Trajan Langdon. I can't imagine Trajan Langdon wanting to leave a team that is loaded with Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball as well. But
and
another name, and right, and a draft pick. The other name I've been thinking a lot about, by the way, we're recording this. It's Wednesday, August 19th. You very well may be listening to us on the day of the draft lottery. It's just dawned on me that the draft lottery is on Thursday, August 20th, which is wild to think about. The draft lottery is on Thursday, August 20th. Brent Berry is a name that interests me a lot, too. Not necessarily interests me in terms of filling the position for the Sacramento Kings. It interests me in the sense of I'm eager to learn more about him, in the sense that he was arguably one of ESPN's, maybe ESPN's very best color analyst. Certainly he was up there. I mean, maybe he wasn't ESPN. Maybe he was NBA TV. Point is, he was very, very good. And then he transitioned to the San Antonio Spurs. That's that organizational structure is what you would hope to aim for if you're a Kings fan. But again, I'm not saying I want Brent Berry to be the next general manager of the Kings. I'm saying I would like to learn more about his role and what.
Well, we know we'd never bring Tony Parker in here for that.
Well, there's that.
Sorry,
there's I had that. To say. That's fine.
No,
that's,
but yes,
that's fine.
Yeah, I honestly, anybody under the Spurs, don't think. I mean, you can't go wrong. Their tree is everywhere but Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah,
we could use a leaf from San Antonio.
And it doesn't feel like that process in San Antonio is coming to an end anytime soon.
No.
Like even if Pop decides, "Oh, I'm good. I'm moving on. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go be the house." We believe there is, of course, this is all an assumption on our part, that the next head coach of the San Antonio Spurs is already on the roster. And I don't know if it's Tim Duncan. I don't know if that's something he even desires to do, or if it's Becky Hammond, but I'm confident the coach is already on the team. As far as the general manager position, why bother leaving? There's no reason to leave. Just you get a chance to carry Greg Popovich's legacy over into the, the next head coach.
Right. And as long as Buford's there, he's having nothing but the best underneath him. I mean, anyone that's underneath him is there because they're very talented in what they do.
And the Spurs should always be the model for, like, if you quizzed, I mean, you're listening to this, you're probably a basketball junkie when you start searching out podcasts of your favorite team to listen to. But the average basketball viewer, there's probably a handful of general managers they can name. People might throw names like Pat Riley in there. I doubt most people know. I think there's probably a small percentage of people who know RC Buford's name. That's the way it's actually supposed to be. The general manager is not supposed to be front and center. The general manager is supposed to be behind the scenes. I know Jerry Jones has made it popular to make the general manager very front and center. They're not. They're not supposed to be. So unless you're in a dual role, which I don't think exists in the NBA anymore, Doc Rivers did it. He no longer does it. Tom Thibodeau did it. He no longer does it. I don't think there's anyone in the league anymore, and I could be missing someone obvious who has that dual role. And it's,
I don't think so.
I don't think it's ever like an actual GM title. It's like a player I can't remember what Doc Rivers' exact title was, but I don't think it was the general manager. I think it was in charge of player
something.
Yeah, I can't remember. Are there any more names you want to throw out there? Do you have any you want to say for the next episode? God knows what's going to happen. So my idea behind this is I'm big on just saying stuff while we're recording, essentially live on the air. And that's just kind of how I've always operated. I think it's really important to have a set time people can get their Jill Adstrick. So I think we're going to be able to drop these every Wednesday.
Okay.
God knows what's going to happen between now and next Wednesday.
Correct. I will say, though, like we had talked about all the names that are being mentioned, but I am so happy that my two favorite people are on there, and that's Adam Simon and Bobby Webster. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I've always said they're probably unrealistic, but those are by far my two favorite names. And I would be ecstatic if we landed either one of those. And for those that people don't know, Bobby Webster is the GM in Toronto and Adam Simon is the assistant GM with the Miami Heat. And he's been there for 25 years, literally started in the video room under Spoelstra and has worked himself all the way up to the assistant GM, and he creates the final draft board for the Miami Heat, and the Miami Heat do not miss. Mm-hmm.
That's
the kind of guy I want.
But do you hear what you just said? Adam Simon has been in the Miami Heat organization for 25 years. He was in the video room under Eric Spoelstra, who, by the way, is their head coach. Mm-hmm. When Pop retires, assuming nothing changes, and I can't even remotely envision a scenario does, off the top of your head. Okay, off the top of your head, Pop retires. Is Eric Spoelstra the longest tenured coach in the NBA?
Yes.
By far, right? Like, because I'm the only person who I can think might be close, and we are not looking this up. We're literally just throwing this out there. Is Doc Rivers.
Yeah, but I think Spoelstra has him.
I think Spoelstra has him beat too.
Quite a bit. Yeah. I will be shocked if it's not. I will be shocked if it's not.
I'm scanning through every just division in my head as quickly as I possibly can to just hoping that we didn't miss like an obvious name. And now I'm going to just look at the teams really quick. Because it's not Brad's probably getting close, but it's Spoelstra. It's Spoelstra. I'm looking at Chicago. Obviously the bad teams are changing. Billy Donovan's
Spoelstra's
been there.
Probably been there as many years as we've had coaches over this 14-year period.
Quinn Snyder, how long is it? Rick Carlisle's probably up there too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's close. We need to look this up. We absolutely need to know. Your guess for Eric Spoelstra, how long he has been in Miami.
Oh, my God.
There's probably an easier way I could have done this. I think I just did this in the absolute most difficult way. Eric Spoelstra became the head coach in 2008.
I was going to say 14 years.
2008. Let's go Rick Carlisle next because he's got to be close. 2008.
Really?
The Dallas Mavericks, 2008.
Why does it feel like it was after that?
Was it Avery Johnson that they fired to hire Rick Carlisle? And I was way off on Doc. He was 2013. My bad.
Just mixing Boston and his.
I guess so. That must have.
Together, probably.
Because wasn't he traded? Like he was traded to the Clippers?
I think so.
Yeah, because the Brooklyn thing happened. And yeah, okay. All right, we're sidetracked. I've been talking. We recorded this shortly after the radio show. So I have been talking essentially for, counting the pre-show meeting, about 5.5 hours straight. I am legitimately sick of hearing myself. That's why I'm so excited that you've decided to join me here on this podcast. I'm so thankful. Judging by the analytics from the first episode, people are really, really, really excited to have you aboard. Not nearly as excited as I am. For those who aren't familiar with you on social media, what's your Twitter handle?
It is at Jill Adge. At J-I-L-L-A-D-G-E.
That is it. And we thank you so much for tuning in here to the Sacramento Kings podcast on the Hoopball Podcast Network. We will see you here next Wednesday.
Thank you.